Welcome to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show, where you'll get a sneak peek into stories and lives behind the authors, entertainers, and celebrities that you love to read about. Sit back, relax, and let Lisa and her guests entertain you. Now, here's your host, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa, your host of Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. And this morning I have a Southeast Minnesota native, and a man who writes sci-fi, fantasy, a little cyberpunk, western, space operas, and techno thrillers, which we'll be talking about today during our show. His name is Anthony Eichenlaub, and he was just at our Peacock bookstore this past week doing book signings, and we've been selling his books out, so we're going to have to get him in to bring some more books in. Anthony, good morning. How are you? Good morning, Anthony. Can you hear me? We seem to be having a couple minutes of technical difficulties here. Bear with us just a second here. Anthony, good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning.
Hello, can you hear
Anthony.
Me?
Hello, I can hear you. I don't know.
Ah,
we just had a little heat to kick up there. No worries. I saw you were on the studio line anyway. Well, good morning and welcome to the show, Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. And for those that are just coming online right now, we're talking with Anthony Eichenlaub, and he is a fantastic author of some sci-fi, fantasy, Western cyberpunk. Am I saying that right? Western cyberpunk?
Cyberpunk westerns. It's kind of a mix of the two genres. So I think you get to say it however you like.
I think so. Yes. So tell us a little bit about how you spend your Saturdays. Is this your writing day, or is this the day that you get to run errands, or I don't know how your day goes?
Well,
tell us a little about that.
Well, I try to do as little on Saturdays as I possibly can, because I used to work in tech, and it was a lot of work during the week, and then I would write in the evenings and weekends, and I didn't realize until later that that was 100% working. I mean, I love writing, but it is work. And so I actually got laid off at the beginning of COVID, which is sad and stressful, but it was also a really, really good thing for me, because it meant that I could write during the weeks. So now I write during the day, during the week, and my evenings and weekends, I concentrate really hard on not working. I don't always succeed, but that's kind of my schedule.
Well, you've written a lot of books in the last few years here, and I know we were talking a little bit about some of the series that went back a little bit when I think you said your kids were young at that point, but the grandfather series. Now, I know we've talked a little bit about this, but tell other people that are just tuning in, is that your most popular series right now, would you say?
The Old Code series, The Grandfather Anonymous, is definitely the most popular series right now. I can advertise them and people will buy them, and it's sort of it's an ongoing thing. It hasn't, a lot of times when you have a new book, you'll get like a huge spike and then it'll taper off. And this one has just been kind of, a good spike, but then it's leveled off, and I have a good steady growth on that particular series, which I love.
It
means I'm finding new audiences.
Yeah, and how are you finding them, mostly at like conventions? I know we had talked a little bit about that. And what are some conventions that, if other authors are listening, or publishers, agents, what are some of the conventions, even just around here in Southeast Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, that they can attend?
Yeah, I think the biggest one in Minnesota here is Convergence, which happens usually around the 4th of July. And it's big. I want to say 7,000 people, maybe. I'm not sure how COVID has affected the numbers, but they just moved to a new location and they're expanding, and it's huge. It's a big weekend, a lot of fun. And yeah, I go there and I meet people, I meet other authors, I meet fans, and I love being on panels. So I'll kind of sign up for every panel that they'll have me on, and just talk about science fiction, I have a background in artificial intelligence. So like I can talk about that and bring interesting things to the conversation. And I always meet other authors or scientists who have a different perspective and have other interesting things to say about AI and about science fiction and everything.
You know, I know there's a lot of artists out there that do not like the AI. I don't know about authors. I haven't talked to them about it. But really, I actually saw an example where a person was doing a stream, and while they were doing the stream, someone took a screenshot and put it into AI and was able to finish the work ahead. And that, to me, that's really defeating to artists out there. And I hope that we can find something, you know, that
it is really hard.
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously going to be a part of the future. I mean, who wouldn't want to? Well, actually, you know, for people that don't know, explain a little bit about how AI works with, like, taking data or respinning a story, or your perspective on it.
Yeah. The one that I've played with the most is called Midjourney. And you basically tell it a description of your picture, and you can give it your own picture as like a seed picture, and it'll make variations on that. But it's got this interesting way of adding detail, and if it's starting from nothing, then it's like it's just throwing spaghetti at the wall, basically. But what you do is it'll give you four options, and you say, oh yeah, this is kind of the most like what I want. So then it'll take that image and generate four more. And then you can kind of get it to generate. It doesn't generate what you have pictured in your mind, but it'll generate something that ends up looking amazingly good. I've seen there are a lot of artists right now who are playing with using it as a tool instead of just letting the AI make all of the art. They'll use it as sort of like, oh, this is sort of a detail brush that I use to enhance parts of my art that I have not previously been able to do. I think that it has a lot of potential to just destroy a lot of the markets that artists use to sell their work. Like, the one that's closest to me is book covers. Like you can use AI to generate the background of your book cover or the characters that are in the foreground. And like, you could do that very easily and very quickly. Whereas before, if you wanted something that looked painted and unique and beautiful, you needed to go to an artist and pay them a reasonable amount of money.
You know, I don't know if you know, but I've worked in the stock photo industry for, well, since the 80s. And so I'm very familiar with licensing images and people not, you know, paying to reuse them or whatever. The thing is with this intelligence, I mean, if you didn't know, the stock photo industry kind of took a turn on its ear in the early 90s. And now you can go to sites, but you still have to license those images for set amounts. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say you're right. Licensing images, AI images, is a little tricky still. It varies by country. From what I've heard, the U.S. says, and you probably know more about this than I do, but the U.S. says that nobody owns an AI generated thing, and the UK says that the people who wrote the AI, like trained the program, own the copyright. And so you've got this sort of disparity, like, okay, if I'm getting this book cover, how do I use it? How do I claim that I like it's if it's not really mine, how do I keep somebody else from using that same image? And I mean, with stock photos, that's that can be an issue too, but
right.
more so in this.
Right. It's an interesting concept, and really, I mean, if you okay, here's how I would truly support it for my own. I mean, I've got my own stock photo collection, of course, but mm-hmm. using my own images. Or people even like, okay, I want to do a hamburger with a model. Well, maybe use one of your even your own kid pictures because it could change it up enough. It wouldn't really be your kid. It just needs the outline of a body. You know, it's your photos, and then you'd never run into that. Where I can see something like that would be really helpful to people with book covers. And, you know, there really are some tight, light, you know, restrictions on things you can do and can't do, even in, like you had mentioned, other countries with models, releases, and is it, you know, model released for an advertising? Maybe you can use that image that you made a derivative work out of for or the AI did, but maybe it's not licensed for commercial use or a book cover. So there's a lot of variables, and it's so, I mean, that's like a full-time job just sitting for me to figure out all the things, and I don't want to go there yet. I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Yet, you know?
the other end of the copyright issue on that one is, okay, I can tell Midjourney to do a picture that I want in mm-hmm. the style of a certain artist. So there's, like, ethically, I don't know if I'm okay with that. Like, it's because, yes, it can bring attention to that artist if I'm getting stuff out that is like their style, but it also is not paying mm-hmm. them anything. And you know that yeah. the training of the AI used art from that artist, and they probably didn't pay for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that to me is still derivative works or making things from derivative
yeah.
works. And I would be... I don't know. I'm not ready to jump into that yet. Maybe the rest of the world is going to be a thousand steps ahead of me. At this point, I either license my images or create my own. So for covers, but covers are they're hard to come up with in what I've run into. And I think we talked about this. Maybe we talked about this where you have an image and then, but it's you run out of the different images for a character. Like I've got one long mm-hmm. series that. I had a designer do, and then we ran out of characters, so we had to start creating from those characters. And so that's
yep.
one hesitation using stock photos. But then it's also how, you know, there's only, like, say in the paranormal, there's only so many images of models that fit that exact cover, and everybody's using the same ones.
yeah, you do find, and in romance too, you'll find, oh yeah, I recognize
exactly.
that bare chest, like that exact image,
yeah.
but modified, like they're always modifying it a little bit and
mm-hmm.
layering other images on, like the good covers are you know, doing some work on top of that, but you can
mm-hmm.
recognize them.
Yeah, and I love your covers, by the way, for your books. We talked about that
Thank
too.
You.
And yeah, they're all fascinating. So, well, tell us a little bit about your old code series. Just so you know, the first book, it literally wasn't even there, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours. Somebody came in and bought the first one. So of the grandfather series. But, you know, they were looking for light reading, something interesting and something that would
yep.
make her husband laugh. So I thought that was pretty
yep.
cool.
Yep, good. I think they probably got the right thing then. The old code series starts with Grandfather Anonymous. The concept is it's a near future, so it's 20 years in the future. So not super near, but kind of near future. It's an older man. He is an ex-hacker with the NSA, and he is retired, kind of in hiding, and he discovers that he has granddaughters. And then he discovers that they are in danger, and then he discovers that they might actually be dangerous. And it's everything that he will try to do to protect them and keep them safe from whatever's after them and whoever's after them. So it ends up being, there's a lot of action. It's a lot of fun. I love the concept of it, and the future books in the series are all interesting. I like to blend in aspects of other genres. So I've got some mystery. I've got a little bit of, they're all kind of that techno thriller vibe. So they've been a lot of fun to write.
Now, that sounds exciting. And now that's one of the series that you're continuing on, and you don't see an ending in the near future anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, that one is still going. The fourth one just came out, and I'm working on the fifth one.
And then how long does it take you to write a book? About half a year or one weekend if you're really feeling good?
I'm not as fast as some writers, but I tend to write. I'm very focused when I'm writing. So I can write a book in, a month and a half or 2 months. But then I go through many rounds of edits. I send it to my editor. Like it takes, if I started today, it would probably be out in 6 to 8 months.
Wow.
But during that time, I would be working on other stuff too. So.
Sure. Well, I didn't check my email yet this morning. Did you have an excerpt that you wanted to read? I don't want to put you on the spot here either. Otherwise, we're just going to keep talking about your other books.
let's keep talking about the other books. I've got short story I could read. I've got an excerpt. I haven't actually timed myself to see how long that excerpt's going to take, though. So I'm happy to talk.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, talk about it. Do you want to do the short story first? Anthony's published in... I forget the name of the book now. It's sitting right in my mind. I see the pens dancing on the cover. What is that book called that we read?
The Community of Magic Pens.
Yeah, tell us about that one.
Sure. That one is with a publisher called At This Arts. They do, quiet science fiction or quiet fantasy. It's it's mellow. It's amusing. Some of it is emotionally quite deep, but it's not like in-your-face explosions kind of storytelling.
You know, I've got a lot of mix of customers that come through all nationalities, all countries, eventually find my store. And, you know, so a lot of people are looking for, actually, it'd be neat to see an anthology written in different languages in one book. So they're looking for a different language book. Yeah.
I know that, is it Cosmas Infinities or something, does both Spanish and English in the same book. Yeah, that might be, I don't actually know if they have a physical publication, though. I've never gotten my work into that particular market. It is kind of a dream one, because wow, getting your work translated is cool.
Isn't it though? Yeah, it's if you can read it, that is, yourself. But I think it's just fun to see your work in different formats. And I will say that, you know, people that are buying these translation books, a lot of them are even from Rochester or traveling through, and they are learning a new language. So they come into my store looking for easy kid books or even difficult novels, short ones usually, that they can try out their new learned language. And so, I don't know, maybe someday Peacock Books will do an anthology. We'll see. But for now, I think I'm just going to be a bookstore. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And tuning in here, we're talking to Anthony Eichenlaub, and he is one of the authors in our store. We carry most of his books anyway. Don't I have all of them now? I think I have them all.
Got them all. Yeah. I think you've got the complete set.
But I'm going to really be pushing that grandfather series, I keep calling it the grandfather series, the old code series, and that other series, your code, what is that one called, the code book, or with the different worlds, the different layers, the five book series?
Oh, Of a Strange World Made, the Colony of Edge. Those are fun. That is a novella series. I wrote the first novella as part of the Rochester Public Library's Frankenstein contest. And I hesitantly say that because it is not horror. And if you read it, you probably wouldn't recognize that it was inspired by Frankenstein. But it deals with a lot of the same issues of having responsibility for what we create, madness. It has sort of, there's a side plot where There's this old story where Mary Shelley wrote the book as part of a story writing contest with Lord Byron and her husband. And I always thought that that was really cool. Like, oh yeah, Lord Byron just shows up in this story for some reason. So in Of a Strange World Made, there is a story contest, and the main character really struggles with this because she's got this idea of what stories are and that maybe all of the good stories have been written, and it plays a part in how the whole thing plays out. That whole series has been a lot of fun to write because it's one of these things where every book kind of has a twist and you learn something new about this world that they're on. That's a novella series. That's been a really interesting one, a really fun one to read, or for me to write. I don't have more books planned in that series, but I could definitely see it happening.
like maybe they have a kid or something, and then that kid takes them to another world. Who knows? I mean, we'll wait for you. We'll wait for you to write that new one. Maybe the next Frankenstein. Maybe it'll be a Dracula contest at the library. Who knows? So.
yep.
I think it's funny that you brought up that point, though, where it took you in this a whole different way, because I also had entered that, or was going to enter that Frankenstein contest, but it took me in a whole different way. I just needed the writing project. And I wrote another series. I've not released mine, but just because it's not ready. But it's funny how just somebody's saying, hey, can you do this and do you want to try this? It can really inspire. So I really want to tell people, if you're listening and you're an author or want to be, just enter some contests. It really is a good way to get you going on something. And now you've entered some contests, and how have you done on those? You have a favorite one that you like to enter?
I don't do a ton of contests these days. I do submit my stuff to different journals. There are a lot of short stories and stuff. There are a lot of places online. Daily Science Fiction is kind of the big one that I had this year, and I was really happy to get my work into them because they are closing down soon, and that was sort of a dream market for me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar, they were or they still are until the end of the year, a place that you sign up your email address, and then every morning in your email you have a new science fiction story, and they're usually pretty short. It's mostly flash fiction or just a tiny bit longer, but it's they're kind of known for a kind of a quirky sense of humor, and some of them can get really out there.
Why do you think, these literary magazines or journals are having so many struggles with COVID and stuff? You'd think that the supply would be up because everybody's finding that common.
I'm wondering why
that's so hard.
I'm not sure. I think Daily Science Fiction has been struggling for a while because the people who run it are not doing a lot to monetize it. They aren't sending you a short story and a whole pile of ads. They're just sending you the short story. So then the way that the funding works for that gets pretty tricky. I think they could easily sell the business to somebody, but they don't want to do that. It's their baby. They are just going to end it. So that's a little
sad.
But that's fine.
Following that, I certainly hear an earful when people come in and, maybe the author's passed, maybe it's a child or brother that's taken over the author's voice. And those are my biggest complaints on the series. I don't know how you can ever step into, say, like another magazine or another person's book and try to be that book or that magazine. It really does have its own voice. So in what you were saying, I think they're probably wise in actually closing the mag down, keeping it as archives, selling it, or however. But same with authors. Yep. I don't know how, unless you inject that child's voice while you're writing, you have some shared books ahead.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's reasonably common. Like the Dune series is still ongoing. And he died a long mm-hmm. time ago, but his son took over. And mm-hmm. The Wheel of Time series was taken over mm-hmm. by Brandon Sanderson, and I think he did okay, but you can tell the different writing styles.
But people really still want that. I mean, I get mm-hmm. requests for books that are, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s on up. That's the one genre, sci-fi fantasy. It doesn't matter how old that book is. In fact, the older and weirder it is, you know, people seem to really like that, and they're going back to that. So we've got a pretty good sci-fi market in our store, but we've got a lot more that we've got in storage that we just bring out occasionally. So if you are a sci-fi author or a fantasy author, you should get in touch with me, and we'll get you signed up for a signing. Well, anybody can come in for a signing, but sci-fi fantasy is really popular right now. And, of course, historical fiction has been on our top shelves for a good 3 years in the running now. I like mixed genres. I love mashing up different.
Yeah. Same
tell
here.
Tell us a little bit about your cyberpunk. Yeah, I like your Western. I know we were joking about that the other day.
We haven't talked much about that. That one has always been a little bit tricky to sell because I think it's a weird genre mashup. The inspiration for that one was I read a lot of cyberpunk. I read a little bit of Western, but I kind of started mm-hmm. to notice that they both take place kind of at the edge of a civilization. Like Westerns are kind of the a civilization moving into a new area. And yeah, there was a civilization there already, but it's sort of the stories that are taking place on that border, on that edge. And cyberpunk is on the decline of a civilization. So it's still taking place at that edge, and but it's just moving the other direction. So I thought, oh yeah, the stories kind of, they kind of mesh there. There's a place there where they fit. So I wrote the story. It's about a sheriff, and it uses a lot of the artifacts of cyberpunk. There's body modification, there's computing, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. But it follows a very typical Western plot. Like he's looking for a killer, and he's searching. He goes to the city, and he goes kind of out into the wilderness and tries to find the killer. And there's a little bit of a mystery element and a little bit of a little action, a little bit of gunplay
mm-hmm.
in that one. And that was a lot of fun to write because, man, it's just like once you get going, you can just crank those words out. Action is really fun to write for me.
And I just love, like, all of your covers I love. And I love that particular cover and how you used a different color on each one. And I just think that you're going to have some great hits in the future. And unfortunately,
thanks.
We're running out of time here, Anthony. I'm sorry. I thought we'd have a couple more minutes here. So
we'll
have to do another a reading another day, but or another signing in the future. So we'll bring you back on when you get your next book.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming on, and we look forward to selling your books. If you're just tuning in, Anthony, Eichenlaub.com, Anthony, Eichen, Eichenlaub.com, or you can come to Peacock Books. We've got all of his books in the store here, except for the first grandfather book that we'll be getting a new copy of. And come on down, visit with us a little bit. We'll have Anthony back on the air, and maybe next spring or when he gets his next book out in the grandfather with the next, I want to see what AJ is doing in the future anyway. Anderson, where you take him next, the next adventure.
Yep.
Anthony, thank you for coming on this show. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
And this is Lisa, your host of Lisa's Walk the Talk show, signing out until next. This is Lisa, your host of Lisa's Walk the Talk show, signing off until our next broadcast, when I'll be back with a new featured guest. Today we've been talking with Anthony Eichenlaub, sci-fi author, cyberpunk, space opera, writer for the daily science fiction, Little Blue. Magic from OnStack Magazine. Come on down to Peacock Book Hall. We look forward to meeting you. And until next time, have a good day.
You've been listening to Lisa's Walk the Talk Show. If you're an author or entertainer and you'd like to be considered for an upcoming broadcast, log on to Lisa's Walk the Talk website at www.lisalc.com for more information. That's www.lisalc.com. Lisa will be back next week to continue this Walk the Talk journey.